Now, turn with me to Revelation 3. If you're visiting with us, you can catch up on our Facebook page. We have these sermons posted out of the book of Revelation. And also, you can go on the YouTube page and find these sermons. Now, tonight's sermon, I'm going to teach, and I'm going to keep myself setting, but I might get up and preach a little hard too, okay? This message is where we're living in Christendom as a whole, in this world and in this country. And though I'm not in the out in the foreign countries, I can tell you and I can attest that the majority of the churches in America fit what I'm preaching tonight. That's the predominant sign of the times. Well, I'll be preaching tonight. I'll be preaching about the Laodicean church. Last week we talked about the Philadelphia church, that church of the open door, the church that God blessed. I still believe there's churches like that. I believe Taze Valley is that kind of church. But when you go around us and go through the state of West Virginia and even in the Bible Belt, you will find out that this kind of church is few and far between. And most of them will be what I described tonight. Now, I'm going to give you the title first, and then I'm going to read and then deal with something. But I want to say this. In studying the Bible, I have found this out. And I want you to know, I am going to correct something I used to believe that I don't believe quite that way now, tonight, from this passage, that I used to believe it a certain way. And now I've studied further and got more insight. And I was wrong in my interpretation, one little section. I was wrong in my interpretation. Wasn't nothing earth-shattering, but I was wrong about it. And God showed me. And I tell you why he showed me. It's because I went even deeper in my studies. I'm talking about really getting down in my studies. And let me say this to you. In these seven churches of Asia, you got to understand the background of the churches to realize that Christ addressed the message to what kind of background they had. And you'll see that tonight. And let's look at it, if you would. Verse number 14, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the amen. Now Christ has introduced himself. The faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, I want to make this statement. He will not say anything good about this church. This is one of two churches, says nothing good about them. And let me give you the title now. That's eluded me a moment ago. The church that makes God sick. I believe if God was looking down on America tonight, he would vomit on what's going on inside of sanctuaries like this. He would absolutely vomit. Amen. And that's what he did here. Right. And I'll show you that. He said, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Now I'll teach you on that. This is where I change my interpretation on this verse. I'll show you in a little bit. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, look what he says, I will spew thee out of my mouth, or I'm going to vomit you out. I'm going to spit you up. See, God looks at the religion and the churches today, and he really just nauseated by it. We see the world so prevalent in churches that no wonder people don't want to go to church because they ain't finding nothing in that church. No wonder church attendance is down through America. Why would you go to something like that, dead and full of entertainment and not full of God? Amen. Am I preaching? He said, because thou sayest, I'm rich. This church said they were rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Look what he says about them, five things. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Hold on a minute. Before you ever accuse me of being a hard preacher, this is Christ speaking. I ain't never preached that hard. That's him preaching. Before you go say, oh, he's one of them rough, tough preachers. Hold a minute. I can't hold a candle to the Lord Jesus. Amen. He said, I counsel that they buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. Notice this wording, because you'll see it in a moment in their background. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. That's significant, and I'll show you in a moment. That thou mayest see, and as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's important. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Boy, that's not preach much. Repent means to turn around. You're going the wrong direction. You need to go in a new direction. That's not preaching anymore. But I want to tell you, two great preachers in the Bible preach repentance. Jesus preached repentance. And John the Baptist preached repentance. And Paul preached repentance. So I've decided I'm going to preach repentance. Behold, I stand at the door. Now, this is where Christ is in most churches today. Look at me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not in the church. He's out there. Not only, he said, listen, and I knock. And if any man hear my voice, I picture this. He's out there knocking and also he's speaking. Let me in. And open the door. I will come in. And will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, the last time this is mentioned in Revelation, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's straight stuff, isn't it? Their condition, their spiritual condition was nauseating to God's stomach. And I wonder if God looks at you today. By the way, you are the church, not this building. Do you make his stomach feel good or do you make him sick? Let me say this to you. Listen to my wording. They are a little too cold to be hot, and a little too hot to be cold. They were a little too bad to be good, and a little too good to be bad. Are y'all with me? They neither love God fervently nor hated him zealously. Here's what they were. They were lukewarm. They were moderate. They were indifferent. They were neutral. Boy, we see that today. Take no stand. We're living in a time of churches. Tell the preacher to take no stand. Don't offend nobody. That's what's wrong with America today. We got a bunch of user-friendly churches that wouldn't say boo at the devil if he had a pitchfork in there after. Am I preaching? They were complacent. They were self-satisfied. They made God sick. God's displeased with a church or a Christian that is happy with himself, where he is and what he's done. I want you to know you're in this new year. You ought not be satisfied with yourself. You ought to want to be better for Christ. Amen. They had a passion for the status quo. I want you to know I've been your preacher 45 years. I ain't got an ounce of status quo in me. I'm going forward. I'm praying about building another building. We're compiling the funds. We're trying to get where we need to be to go forward. I don't want us to ever hold back, but not just in a physical stuff like building. We ought to go forward with our efforts of evangelism, trying to get people saved. Amen. Now let's look. Go verse by verse with me. Look at verse 14. I want you to notice how Christ is characterized by his dependability. By the way, he is dependable. And unto the angel of the church, the angel being the pastor of the church of Laodicea, write, these things saith the Amen. Amen. I like that. He is the great Amen. Man, and I'll get on to that in a moment. But this was an urgent letter and a letter of authority. How many of you agree our nation needs urgency? Ladies and gentlemen, we're falling off the cliff. Not just governmentally, it's a mess, but I'm talking about spiritually. This Laodiceans, now let me give you background because I really want you to hear this because it really plays a big part in learning how to interpret this letter. The Laodiceans was located in the Lycus Valley, along with two other cities that had churches in them, one of them called Hierapolis, and the other, of course, you know in your Bible, Colossae. It was 300 miles east of Athens and 600 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Had two big trade routes there. The city was wealthy. The richest city in Phrygia. It was known for banking. It was known for manufacturing clothing, especially, remember he talked about a white raiment? Especially a black wool that they manufactured there. And also, I want you to notice this, this city had two colleges. Two academic colleges, and here's what their academics were about. They had an eye college and an ear college. And you know he addresses that in a moment. Aren't you? You know what that tells me when I start telling you all that stuff? Christ is aware of everything that goes on in the church, in the city, in the country, everywhere. Amen. And this city also had one major weakness. And I want y'all to hear this because it's significant because it has to do with the whole context of the letter. You know what their weakness was, Zach? They did not have an adequate water supply. In other words, here's what it was. Their water supply came from hot springs and cooled to lukewarm, or it either came from a cooler area and warmed up in the aqueduct. They had a 6-mile aqueduct. And once that water moved from one stage to the other, it got lukewarm. And if you drank it, you'd spit it up. And that's the culture there. The Bible doesn't really say how this church began, but I think I know who the pastor was at least one at one time. His name was Epaphras. If you study Colossians 1:7 and 4:12 through 15, Epaphras probably was the pastor. Now, I'll give you something to think about. There was a letter written to the Laodiceans that either got lost or destroyed, because we don't have that letter. But if you read Colossians 4:16, it emphatically says there was a letter written to the Laodiceans. Now, does it fit into canonicity? No. But there's a fact there was a letter written to them. I love the Bible. I love studying history. Now, let me give you a couple things about Christ in verse number 14. You can trust what he says. By the way, I am not going to argue with you. This Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired. It's inerrant. I trust it. That's him speaking to me. And he's called the Amen. And what that means is to affirm what is certain, what is reliable, what is true, and real reality. Amen. Hey, by the way, all the promises of God are yea and nay. He's reliable, but they weren't. He was faithful, but they weren't. He was a true witness, but they had no witness at all. And I say to you, you look at America, look at most of the churches. God's reliable. God's on the outside trying to get in, but they're not reliable. There's churches in this area, hey, their pastors are dead. They're not preaching the Bible. They're in a social gospel. They changed the name of the church. I just found out another one church in the community going to change for the fourth time, third or fourth time. You say, why are they doing that? I don't have a clue why they're changing their name again. The only thing I'm trying to think is probably they want to change their identity. Their church is dead, so they thought, well, we'll try something new. By the way, we don't need to try something new. We need to return to the old past. Amen. Am I preaching? And number two, you can trust what he starts. He's the beginning of the creation of God. That's a reference to Colossians 1:15 and 1:18. That means Christ is chief. That means Christ is ruler. Help me preach. He's the originator both of the creation and the church. He's Lord over both the material and the spiritual. I'll tell you what's happened to this church. They lost sight of who he is. And they lost sight of what he's done. And let's just be honest about it. If we all got a fault, is we've lost track of who he is. He's still holy. He's still high. He's still God. And we've lost track of what he's done. Hey, listen, he pulled you out of the pit. He saved you by the grace of God. You would have been in hell burning tonight if it wasn't for the good grace of God. Now let's look further, look at verses 15 through 17. And Christ just gets real blunt. And Christ condemns those who are deceived. He said, I know thy works. Boy, oh boy. How many of y'all believe he knows them? He said, what kind of shape you're in? And here's what kind of shape they are in. They were neither hot nor cold. Instead, they were lukewarm and tepid and moderate. Now, this text, Zach, you and I may have done it, misinterpreted. I have, I'll explain. Look what it said. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would that thou wert cold or hot. Now, here's how I used to interpret that. And it makes good preaching, but that actually is not the fact. Hello. I'm just trying to be honest and straight with you. I'm going to tell you what the interpretation is. Some people interpret like this. Well, he wants you to be a cold Christian. There's no way I believe that. There's no way in this world I believe God wants any Christian to be cold. That's a negative. You believe God would want a negative for you? Absolutely not. Now, I used to teach it like this. If you were cold, at least you'd know you were cold and you'd get right with God. That's how I used to teach it. And many preachers still preach it that way. Nor hot. But here's the actual interpretation. Because, see, you've got to go back to history and the geography of the place to find the background of Laodicea, and you'll find this. They had hot municipal waters bubbling up in the nearby city of Hierapolis, and they had cold, pure waters that flowed at Colossae. So what he was saying to them, you need to have healing waters in your church, and you need to have refreshing waters in your church. But you have neither. You are lukewarm, and I'm spitting you up. That's literal history and geography to teach you the truth, and we might as well preach it right. God never wants anybody to be cold. You are a cold Christian, you need to get hot. And if you're lukewarm, you need hot. Good preaching, Reverend. Verse 17, don't be ignorant of your spiritual condition. Because thou sayest, I am rich. That's what they said. I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Larry Brown from South Carolina wrote a book on 10 people that he couldn't help. I've got the book. It might have been the best thing he ever done in his ministry, that book on 10 people you can't help. And I'll tell you, one that you can't help is somebody that thinks they don't need help. That's that church. They don't need help. And let's just say, hey, Jeff, let's look at America. And look at the churches scattered in America. They just don't think they need help. I mean, they tried it all. They try entertainment. They've got the smoke coming up from their pulpits. And, you know, let's make it like the world. Let's get our tight leather pants on and have the preacher in a tee and a real gold necklace. Could you imagine me in leather pants and a tee and a gold necklace? That'd be enough to make anybody sick. Do you know? There's five things he said about them. He said, you're wretched. Now, this stuff preaching. What if I got up here and said all y'all today, you're wretched? I am, actually. That word means unfortunate. That word means ravaged lands, devastated countries. That's what that word means. Wretched. You're just ravaged. There's Christians that profess Christianity that live like sinners. Wretched lives. They want to debate whether they can use alcohol or not. Smoke a little weed or not. Use a little pornography or not. That's wretchedness. And he said, you're miserable. But what if I get there and say that to y'all tonight? You're miserable. I'm not, he did. That means you're the object of extreme pity. They said, you're poor. This church said they were rich. Extreme poverty. Poor as a beggar. I was slapping that city and church right in the face. Blind. That church prided itself in having an eye school. They had a special ointment for the eyes that was discovered there. And I'll touch on that in a moment. And he said, you're blind. You might have some anointment to fix your physical, but you're spiritually blind. Then he said, you're naked. And that was a slap at the city because, see, their manufacturing was they manufactured black wool. He said, you don't need black wool. You need my righteousness. Am I preaching? Now look at verses 18 and 19. Let me read them again. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, real contrast to their black wool, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Y'all with me? He was dealing with what they had in that community and turning it around on them spiritually. And then he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You, by the way, we and they and the churches of America need Christ's riches. He said, I counsel you that you buy me gold refined in the fire. By the way, you'll never be richer than you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am a child of the King. Amen. Somebody help me preach. He said, because gold is an emblem of faith. Some believe the Laodicean church was not just lax, but lost. And here's what I believe. I believe Laodicean church is just like the churches in America. About half and half, half lost and half carnal. That's a fact. There's churches in America, they may have some saved people in it, but there's a bunch of lost people in it, and the saved people are as carnal as the lost people, and you can't tell the difference. Amen. Boy, that's straight preaching. I ain't preaching, that's Christ preaching. By the way, first comes faith for salvation, then we need faith for sanctification. That's why Paul said we go from faith to faith. And Jesus is the author and the finisher of the faith. Then look at verse 18. He said, you need Christ's righteousness, white garments. He shamed their nakedness. See, nakedness in the ancient world was a picture of judgment and humiliation. This church was naked, but they said, no, we got fine black wool raiment. We're rich. But he said, no, you're blind and poor and naked. Boy, that's... Then look at verse 18. I want y'all to hear this. Again, studying the background of the church. Look at 18. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire and white raiment, that opposed to their black wool, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou, the shame of thy nakedness, do not appear. And listen to this, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, this city had an eye salve called Phygian powder. It was made in that city, or discovered in that city, and manufactured in that college, that eye college. And what they would do is take that eye salve to heal physical blindness. And Jesus said, you don't need that kind of eye salve. You need the eye salve of the gospel. You need the word of God. Am I preaching? I'll tell you what we need. And then he said, you need Christ's restoration. Anoint your eyes with eye salve. And let's apply this portion. We need to have an honest evaluation of our spiritual health. It's a new year. Let me look at y'all. Look at me. Ain't time to pray. What kind of spiritual health you got? Are you a vibrant, soul-winning, Bible-loving, praying Christian? Are you vibrant like that? You say, well, I haven't even read the Bible this year. If you haven't started reading it right now, God help you. I mean, we're talking about different ways we can read the Bible. Chad's got a good method. You might want to try that way to go through the Bible. He's got a good method. I'm old school. I just start reading Genesis and read it all through. I'm old school. But I want you to know something. We need to realize if we're people of prayer, people of the Word. Reveal to me my spiritual blind spots. Do you have any? Got any spiritual blind spots? Let me ask you, you got this one? You can't hardly forgive people? You got this one? You're bitter. You got this one? You got hidden sin. Don't tell me people don't have hidden sin. 57% of Christendom use pornography twice a month. 57%, and I think that's low. That's a fact. And it leads to perversion. It leads to family breakups. It leads to homosexuality. It leads to ungodliness. It's just because we ain't taking a real good look. And I'm probably talking to people tonight that you use pornography. I hope not. Maybe I'm talking to somebody tonight that you drink alcohol. I hope not. And I'm tired of the debate on it. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whoever does it is deceived thereby. And we don't have very many preachers preaching on anymore. And the Calvinistic movement today, that movement, that reform movement of getting into alcohol up to their eyeballs. The Southern Baptist Convention now is eat up with preachers that condone alcohol drinking. They're eat up with it. And they're eat up with Calvinists and the contemporary movement and everything that nauseates God. And the sad fact is many independents are the same way. Good preaching, Reverend. Might get some hate mail tonight, but that's all right. Then look at verse 19. I really want you to see this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Let me ask you a question. How do you know you're saved? I mean, how do you know you're saved? Well, I know I'm saved because the Lord's in me. I don't know how you not know you're saved if he's in you as big as he is. But I'll tell you a practical way I know I'm saved is that when I do wrong, he whips me. Hey, listen to me. There's a lot of people getting sin, and they keep going in sin, and they keep doing the same sin over and over. I really doubt their salvation. I'll tell you why I doubt their salvation. How could you do all those sins over and over and over again and not have the chastening of God? I'm nobody's judge, but that really makes me wonder. Amen. And I really believe that God rebukes and chastens people if they're saved. How many believe that? Now, I want to show you that. Turn your Bibles quickly to the book of Hebrews. Hurry over there. I won't spend much time there, but I think it's important to read this in conjunction with this passage. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Are you there? Say amen. Y'all, you there? Say amen loud. Amen. All right, listen to verse 5. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. You chasten your kids, don't you? And by the way, if you don't, you can really realize why they are or how they are. Amen. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of them. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is whom a father chastens not? It's not normal not to discipline your children. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. If you're a Christian, you're a partaker of it. And if you're not getting chastised, you're not a Christian. And I didn't say that, God did. Because look, boy, this is strong words, and I'm reading the Bible. This has not come from John Smith. But if you be without chastisement, we're all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Or what that means is you're illegitimate and you've never really been saved. And we don't preach that much today in this reckless, cold atmosphere of churches today. We need to preach that kind of preaching. We might see some church members get saved because there's a lot of church people living every day like a devil and never nothing happens. I tell you what, I can't hardly think bad without. You said you ever think bad? Yeah, I'd like to lay a lot of people out to dry. I thought about it. Don't you say you don't do that. I mean, there have been a lot of times I like to get revenge myself. But that's against God. And he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Amen? Now let's go on. I'm done. And he said, be serious and repent. Hey, listen to me. If you're here tonight, would you evaluate yourself? And if you're listening online, will you evaluate yourself and repent if you're not doing right? And if you're a lazy Christian online and not coming to church just because you've got lazy over the last 2 years, shame on you. Repent and come back. Now look at the last thing. Christ challenges those that need direction. He said, I'll come in and invite you. He said, here's what he's saying. Lance, I'll close. I'm outside. I'm not in your church. I'm outside. And I'm knocking. And I'm wanting in. But there's one problem. Amy, there's a problem. There's no doorknob on the outside. The doorknob's on the inside. And if the door's going to be open, and if he's coming in, you got to invite him.
That's good for you. Right. Amen.
And here's the problem. How many of you really want him to come in the way you live?
That's good. Yeah. Amen.
I mean, they wasn't living right. I ain't letting him in. And that's where churches are all over this country. He's on the outside begging to get in, but ain't been in a long time. And he said, you can reign with me if you trust me. If you're an overcomer, you can reign with me. You could sit with me and be with Jesus on my phone, and you can be there with me. I hope it's been helpful to you tonight. God's given me a lot of insight in this passage. I tried to cover it thoroughly, but let's close with an invitation. I think it's right to give an invitation tonight. How many here in this room with heads bowed and eyes closed know that if you died today, you know you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. Thank you. Put them down. How many right now say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't even know if I saved right. If you weren't saved by grace through faith and trust Christ alone for salvation, you weren't saved right. But how many in there not sure you're saved but want to be saved? Raise your hand and say, pray for me. Anybody? But how many Christians are looking at your life right now and you're evaluating? Let me ask you, how many of you right now, you could be a lot closer to God than you are, and you know it? How many slip your hand up, just say, pray for me. I could be a lot closer. Lord have mercy, I raise my hand. I wonder if we're not self-deceived. They were. Stand with me. If God spoke to you and you don't want to be lukewarm, you want to be hot You want to be refreshing, like cold spring of water. Won't you come forward right now? Our Father, touch this, just a short time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.